He's wearing bikinis right now, in fact.
Oh, yeah. We're much wiser in bikinis.
By the way, you're so much more attractive since you've had your boob job, Dan.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
The following program is classified MA. It is recommended for an immature audience. It may contain strong language, adult themes, and nudity. But being a podcast, that's not going to be a problem, is it?
Welcome to Planet Beer, the beer show. It's all about the beer.
Welcome to Planet Beer, episode number 9, coming to you from the Pig and Whistle at Riverside this time. We were at Indooroopilly last time, and we're at Riverside this time in downtown CBD Brisbane. Before we go on with the show, I'd like to introduce our panel for the night.
Yes, who's here?
who's here today?
Who's here that rates are mentioned?
That's right. Well, he Dan, she Dan, and our very special guest, me. No, I'm only joking.
You are special.
Gabby Milgate.
Thank you.
You may remember her from such films as
Muriel's Wedding.
Priscilla Queen of the Desert. Babe Pig in the City.
Yeah.
Full Frontal.
Strictly Ballroom.
Were you in Strictly Ballroom?
No. Oh. But you might remember me from that if you've got a bad memory.
Just pluck a random Australian movie out of
there. I was also in Rocky V. I was cheering fan number 200.
Well, anyway, that's Gabby. She's going to be our panelist tonight. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We've got a couple of beers to go through. We've got a few Chopper's nuts to chew on. We've got
Chopper's Nuts. Tell me about Chopper's Nuts.
Well, Chopper's Nuts is, as you know, Mark Chopper Reed, the convicted... Is he a murderer?
Well, he's a self-confessed murderer, but he's never been charged. Is that right? That's what I've
been led to believe. They're salty and sweet.
And his the nuts that you buy
Chopper's
are
nuts
similar.
Are salty and sweet.
Yes. But with Chopper's Nuts, choppersnuts.com, we've got a competition at the moment with the beer show. Where if you go and register at the beer show, at the beer club, and also register at choppersnuts.com, you go into the draw to win a autographed poster, full-size poster of Chopper Reed.
And we're going to send you Chopper's Nuts!
And he's going We joked about last time that he was going to do a drive-by delivery.
Yeah, that's right. But I just think it's interesting that he's got these tough Chopper's Nuts in a little container that looks like gay hair product.
Yeah. It does look...
You know, they've even got in the O of Chopper's the little, like, you know, play school window symbol. It's on all the hair products.
So are you saying Chopper's gay?
No, I'm saying he needs a new marketing packaging.
Sorry, Mr. Chopper.
No, I think it's very clever because only someone that tough could have such a gay container.
Yes. That's why I dress the way I do.
I think he's done it to pick fights.
That's right. That's right. And funny. If he brings out a hair product, he doesn't need to repackage.
I'm getting scared here because there is a chance that Chopper Reed's going to be on our show in Melbourne when we're down there in a couple of weeks' time. So hopefully he doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah.
Until after we leave Melbourne.
Well, a lot of his victims won't listen to the show.
That's right. They've got no ears.
Or they're dead.
So that's
sorry, sorry, apologise to any of the family that are listening.
But I want to ask you a few questions, Gabby, about your life.
All right, do I get a buzzer?
I used to love you in Full Frontal when you did Xena.
Xena Warrior Princess.
Yes, remember that?
She had colanders for boobs and her weapons were cutlery.
Where was that filmed in? You didn't go to New Zealand for that, did you?
Yes, we flew to New Zealand every week. We had a massive, massive budget.
For a three-minute skit.
Yes, that's right. And it was my whim and they fulfilled it.
So that would be a massive budget.
A missive picture.
That's right,
missive.
Gabriella.
Yes.
By the way, your boobs are heaving.
Now, and also too, you're very famous for the line, "You're terrible, Muriel."
Yes.
I love that.
We pull that out often, you know.
I know. That was a sad movie, that. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, although the music was what everyone sort of loved it for, but I thought it was very, it was almost on an arty level, wasn't it?
And they also loved the music before the film too, which was good.
Yeah, that helped.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they did.
Ever? No, they didn't have several number ones.
No, that's right. Those nobodies from Scandinavia.
I thought it was... every time I see that movie, I just go, geez, that his... your dad in the movie was an arsehole.
Bill Hunter. Well, that was based on a true story. The director's father was a councillor on the Tweed Coolangatta Council, and he was found guilty of corruption, and he ended up doing community service.
Oh, Oh, wow.
Yep.
There you go.
So there you go.
Is there a place, is Porpoise Spit, is that where it was?
No, that's a made up name, which is hilarious.
South Tweed, wasn't it?
Well, who wants to see photos of Porpoise Spit, really?
You can find them.
That's right. You know where to Google. You can find anything.
Right, Google Porpoise Spit.
I'm sure you could.
No, you were also in a movie that was released last year. Was it Feeder?
Yeah,
I've seen photos of that. Feed, was it?
Yeah.
It's about feeders, isn't it?
Yeah, feeders and gainers. It's about people who have a fetish for feeding women until they die, basically.
Oh, wow. Like on, what was that movie? Seven.
That's sexy.
Seven. And he made, you know, he fed that guy until he died.
Yeah.
Oh, when so they, twisted.
When they asked me to do the film, I said, well, am I going to be nude? And the director, Brett Leonard, was like, yeah, sort of. I was kind of in this big fat bodysuit of a woman who was supposed to be 350 kilos in lingerie.
Oh, no.
And then, I tell you what, there's nothing better than taking off that fat at the end of the day.
No.
So you had a fat suit, obviously.
I had a fat suit and a bullet in the head.
Oh, because I have seen photos and I've looked, I thought, that's not Gabby.
Wow. That's
Gabby.
Wow.
Also, too, obviously, heavily makeup in the face as well. It wasn't just a fat suit, was it?
I can't remember.
I was going to say, tell me it wasn't.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
And it would have been hot. Was it just hot and uncomfortable?
Yeah, we filmed it in the middle of summer, and in between breaks I had two industrial size air conditioning ducts shoved up my legs. I look like something from the future.
I imagine there's a lot of real people out there who would like that.
Some fat lady from the future, from Doctor Who.
Does a fat suit feel rubbery, like on the
outside? Yeah, like latex. Except I was disappointed that the nipples didn't retract. It wasn't very realistic.
I would have spoke to the director. I said, I want realism.
It took
I can't work like this.
An hour to get into it and an hour to get out. So once I was in, I just thought, oh, Jesus, 5 hours at a stretch I was doing.
You feel like you were on The Biggest Loser.
No, you should probably felt like the real
did
person.
Did you water load before that?
Speaking of reality TV, what's happened Big Brother-wise?
Look, I'm boycotting it this year.
What?
I am boycotting Big Brother.
Well, see,
I can't do those people vacuous bimbos anymore.
She, Dan, and I were very Big Brother fans all through seasons 1, 2, 3, 4.
We were massive diehard
And also,
too,
the Celebrity Big Brother that you were in, Gabby.
Yes, I was in Celebrity Big Brother. It was an honour.
What's the character you do?
I did...
The boy?
Yeah, I did a skater character called Weevil, 16-year-old skater boy who was... in the house, that was his catch cry, and he ended up asking Imogen Bailey, and fans of The Beer Show will know who she is.
Oh yeah, I've hugged her.
Have you?
Really?
Yep. Really?
Wow.
I've done her.
Have you watched?
I did her in the Big Brother house as Weevil. Weevil lost her virginity to Imogen.
Outdone by Weevil.
I know it hurts, doesn't it? He goes up to Imogen and she's lying down on the bed just reading, and he goes up to her and goes, you know, in true Big Brother style, and goes, will you please be my girlfriend? And she kind of looked up from a book, rolled her eyes and went, yeah, all right.
So it's like going back in high school, will you go with me?
Yeah, totally.
I've asked girls out like that.
But I was so naive in year 8, this boy comes up to me, his name is Dion, I still remember, he came up and goes, will you go with me? And I went, yeah, where do you want to go? And I was like, oh, okay, that's it.
Naive.
But you haven't been watching the latest Big Brother?
I've seen snippets enough to know that I'm glad I'm not watching it.
Oh, no, you've got to be watching it because there's so many annoying people this year that
aren't
being evicted because the way they're setting it up, that the boring people actually do go.
Yeah.
But how much are you hating Big Brother this year?
He's got some attitude going on.
I think he's a megalomaniac psycho. I think he's so
about him.
On himself, he's ridiculous.
That's the thing. Yeah, like I've said this last time, I think.
But do you
for
watch
years,
it to hate
Big
him?
Brother's been walked over, and while
that's
people
right.
try to make themselves celebrities and go, hey, Big Brother, hey, what's it? Now it's like, nuh-uh.
No.
You're not talking when Big Brother is talking.
Big Brother's and no one.
Big Brother was in a radioactive accident, and he's gone bad.
Super Big Brother now.
Is there any money left?
No.
Probably not. They're doing it.
They're doing it for free now.
Yeah.
I've been the show.
Yeah.
I met a psychic today who said an insider's going to win Big Brother, and he reckons Jade is going to win, the mental girl who had to sing all her challenges.
Oh, really?
She's not going to win.
No way. I'd even vote her.
She's gone
I'm
full frontal, though.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, better keep her in then.
In a magazine?
I'm not saying she's worth looking at.
In FHM.
Oh, no.
No, first what, night.
Are being on the show. Again?
No, no, first night she was stripped off, full frontal. There was Tassie map, the whole. It was more a runway strip, I thought. Mm. What do you think, Dan?
I thought it was more a wild bush, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right. It was like Tasmania before the logging.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Sort of, but I think. This is the good year this year, because like there are people annoying, and Big Brother is now in control again. Like I hate, not hate, I don't like that word, because I know, being a celebrity and everything, that you know, people have opinions of you without even knowing you. Yeah. But Michael, I hate the guy.
Oh, he's the most wonderful kind of awful.
Yeah.
Oh. Isn't he?
If he left the show, it'd be boring. But
yeah, you've got to keep him in.
I just don't like the way he talks to Big Brother. Big Brother's no, really got to come down on him.
No, Jason, but, I was there the other night when Michael was serving it up, both barrels of Big Brother. I'm like, go, Michael! And I can't stand the guy. But to see someone really, really nail Big Brother, I love that. I love a bit of conflict and no respect for authority.
Big Brother should have sent him straight to the, what's the word? The discipline
room. Oh, the sin bin?
Oh, what's the room? The glass room?
The naughty chair? Oh, no, that's the super nanny.
Yeah, he should have gone straight to there and counted needles, separated needles and pins. That's what I think.
There's a certain kind of power you get from having control over the Big Brother button.
Mm.
When I was evicted from the Big Brother house, I got a chance to call Kyle Sandilands to the diary room. Kyle Sandilands is now the judge on Idol, and he does a show with Jackie O. And so I called him to the diary room, and he goes, "Yes, Big Brother." And I went, "You suck. That is all."
Yes. More power to you.
I've been locked in the Big Brother house.
Have you?
Yeah. For charity. We did this.
That's all right.
We spoke of this before, but yeah, I was there with Big Kev.
God bless him. Yeah. Gone to God now.
Mind you, he looked suicidal when I was there.
Really?
Yeah. It was right after the time he lost the race team, and I was being stupid and said, well, I didn't know that, and I said, "Hey, so Big Kev, how's the race team going?" And he was like, "Oh, we're taking a break at the moment." You know, I knew there was something up right there and then, so
yeah.
I left him alone and went.
Could
and
have been that noose
him.
He was carrying around.
You know, once you've been on TV with a piece of cloth that can absorb, you know, 3 litres of liquid, where is there to go in life?
Yeah. Was that his shirt?
And goo remover.
Oh, goo remover.
Yeah,
who can forget that?
I think what we'll do, we'll take a break and we'll have our dinner, thanks to the Pig and Whistle here, because I know I'm trying an albino cow.
Oh,
I look
and
forward
I'm
to eating something
the,
really rare.
The prawn spaghetti.
Prawn spaghetti. Okay, so we'll take a quick break. Well, it'll be quick for you guys, but it'll be long for us. And before you know it, we'll be right back here and we'll be test driving now. Well, not test driving. That's not a good word for beer. We're road testing our first beer of the night, which will be the Cascade First Harvest. Very rare beer as well. So we'll be right back here on Planet Beer, thanks to Carlton Draft. Made from beer.
Did you just burp as you said that?
A lot of people ask me the best way to clean your beer glasses, and I tell them, I have no idea. So I got Brennan in, and we're going to talk about the best way to clean your glasses.
That's really interesting. Thanks for asking that question. I appreciate that. the first thing I'd like to say is I've heard a few myths about what to do with a beer glass, and I've heard things like, my granddad says, I've never washed that beer glass in 30 years, and I drink beer out of it every single night. And I think, oh, man, that has got to be filled with some nasty, ropey bacteria.
It's a bit festy.
Yeah, and I think that's a real common myth about not cleaning the beer glass. But the proper way to clean the beer glass is with the four T's of cleaning, which are time, temperature, turbulence, and titration. Now, those sounds kind of corny, but the time is how long you're scrubbing it.
Yeah.
The scrubbing is the turbulence, or how much physical action you're putting on the glass. The temperature, of course, is the temperature of your water. And the titration is the level of chemical or surfactants that are in the water. Now, that sounds a bit over the top, but those are the things that are involved in cleaning.
So you can't just chuck it in the dishwasher.
Well, you could, but you're not going to do a good job because there's no physical action. I mean, there's a little bit of spraying water, but the thing that what you need to do is first find a sponge that is your sponge and keep it away from your wife and those dirty dishes. And it says it's the beer cleaning sponge, the beer glass cleaning sponge.
Okay, so we need a sponge.
So you soap it up, get some warm water, get the sponge in there.
So
all
you
the
can
way to the
use
bottom.
Soap with, like, I tend to just rinse it under really hot water, and that's it.
Well, so you're only getting one of the four.
Oh, that's only one T.
That's only one T.
Ah.
And that's the temperature.
Okay.
So if you get warm, soapy water with a reasonable amount of soap on it, and scrub it right down to the bottom. And I always scrub the outside of my glasses too. I like a nice clean glass. Mm-hmm. And thoroughly rinse the glass. You don't want to have any residual chemical on the glass because that'll only detract from your foam retention. Or the beautiful bubbles that are coming out of the bottom of the glass. Make sure it's very, very clean. Rinsed very well. So you've cleaned all the soap off of it. And if you turn that glass upside down and allow the water to sheet off the glass, you shouldn't see any breakup of the sheeting. You want to see
like an oily surface. It should be just
that's right. And if you do, clean it again.
So keep cleaning. Well, there you go. There's the four T's. Just again, Brennan.
Time.
Temperature.
Turbulence.
And
titration.
That's a good word. Sheedam, I'd love that one. Okay, well, thank you very much, Brennan. There you go, guys. You now know how to clean your glasses. There's no excuse now for not having a good head on your beer, that is.
That's right.
So, anyway, back to the show. Welcome back to Planet Beer at the Pig and Whistle at Riverside. What a great place this is. We're sitting here by the fire.
The fire is nice warming my butt, and it's beautiful.
Watching people beat the crap out of them on the big
right.
Wheel butt.
We've piled up all the wooden furniture into a pile, and we've lit it.
Yeah. Right. Again, chuck another stool on.
In the English soccer fan tradition.
That's right. Let's try.
They didn't have fire lighters, so we just got shots of snaps.
Yeah. And breathe.
And spitting them on the...
That's right.
And we're watching people beat the crap out of each other. We've got, Junbar Doolong.
And Davey Brown.
And the boxing on TV too.
Hit him.
Yeah, it looks like a couple of Asian drivers having a bit of road rage at each other in Cabramatta, actually.
That's right. I thought there was something familiar about that scene.
Okay, anyway, we're back to do our road test, which is the Cascade First Harvest, released 2006. Now, this beer, a little bit of history behind it, it comes out once a year. They only harvest enough green hops, fresh hops, for one batch of beer a year.
Wow, I feel honoured.
And we're lucky to have it here. So it's made by Cascade. I'm going to crack it open. Here it is.
Nice.
And I'm going to pour it. Sound effects. Trying to get a head on it first.
It's a beautiful, rich amber.
Very good.
Lovely.
She's talking
the
talk.
It's got some lovely lacing on the glass.
Nice. She's got the vocal.
And I'm assuming it's fizzy. I haven't had a sip yet.
Okay. Well, it looks good.
It looks thick.
It's got a rich amber colour.
Yes.
It's got a thick, creamy head.
Yes.
Okay, let's have a sip.
Okay.
Very hoppy.
Let's go to the hop.
Yeah.
Standard reaction. The standard reaction from Sheedam.
Yeah. It's a bit different than Corona, isn't it, Danny?
It's meaty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very,
it's
very
meaty
hoppy.
And it's smoky.
Yeah. It's like a roasted. Yeah. Roasted.
Yeah. I'll go with roasted.
I'm getting aspects of burnt pumpkin. You know when they burn the pumpkin skin?
A little bit of that
bitterness.
That
there.
Was dinner you just finished. Yeah.
It's very hoppy. When I say hops, it's got three types of hops on there. Oh, geez, the lighting's bad here. I should have remembered it.
What choice?
There's one called Galaxy Hop. There's Ember, Nova, and Galaxy. They're the three varieties of hops that they harvest.
It reminds me of Guinness.
Oh, really?
That rich and meaty.
I know what you mean.
It's probably that aftertaste that you get. That sort of it's almost.
Yeah, pass me the Tic Tacs. Yeah.
It's also very, it's medicinal at the sides of the tongue towards the back of the fleshy bit of the tongue.
Yes, I'm with you on that one.
And it's getting me slowly drunk.
Well, it is. What's
it's
the percentage?
It's five and a half, I think.
Five
and a half, yeah.
I am drinking responsibly, however. I'm not spilling a drop. Well, that's a lovely meaty beer. I would enjoy that with a sausage.
Yeah, with
a steak. And mashed potato and some boiled cabbage.
Is it influenced by Germanic
beers, would you say?
It does taste a bit European-y to me, like the ones we've road tested previously.
It's nothing like a VB.
No. It's definitely would be something influenced by something in Europe because, like you said, I think the varieties of hops are actually started in Europe. Yeah. They're actually imported.
Glücklich mit Lederhosen. Wow, I never could speak German before I drank this.
It's amazing.
Volkswagen. Whoa, there I go again.
Oh, she's multilingual now. I'm actually dyslexic and bilingual at the same time.
Figure that one out.
No, hang on, that's not dyslexic. What's the word I'm after?
You always screw up jokes, Justin.
I'm the worst.
You have never got a joke right.
And I wanted to stand up.
Are you multi-cunnilingual?
I'd like to be. what I'm trying to work out is I can't read or write in two different languages.
Is that like that joke, have you heard about the agnostic insomniac dyslexic? He used to lie awake at night thinking, he's wondering if there really was a dog.
Yes, nice.
Sorry, I stuffed that up, Jason.
That's good.
I'm from the Jason School of Jokes.
Yeah, well.
No, you're from the Christmas Cracker School
That's
of Jokes.
I'm from the, what did we just road test? This is a shocker. I can't feel my arms.
Oh, my legs have fallen off.
That's because we threw them in the fire, Dan.
I thought I was
We ran out of chairs. Well, anyway.
Wow, it does have quite an anaesthetic effect after a while.
Straight to the appendages. Apparently.
You know, if Queensland Hospital system goes bung and we've got to do an operation on the table here tonight.
Just dip the knife in
That's right.
Isn't
there that weird bacterial outbreak in the Mater Hospital or one of the hospitals?
Yeah, but we've all got that bacteria on it. It's just some of us are more vulnerable.
More susceptible. Yeah. They need this.
Yeah.
What is it called? Cascade First Harvest.
Okay, it's Cascade First Harvest.
You can't exactly slam it down fast.
Let's go around the table. What do you reckon we rate it?
Okay.
Out of five, Gabby, we do it?
Out of five. three?
Three.
Yeah. Four? Hang on.
34.
I give it.
It's getting better with each sip.
It does. It's one of those ones. So you've gone from a Corona to that, and of course it's going to go, wow.
Oh, huge.
It did.
Yeah. Mellow into it.
Jaw muscles are still spasming.
Yeah.
I'm giving it two because, you know, I'm not into like overly hoppy beers.
Two. Dan?
3.5.
Hey, Dan. 3.5.
You always go the half mark, Dan.
Just because I watched Jason add it up.
I haven't got my calculator. What?
So you can't have half marks, otherwise just make it out of 10.
You better even it up out of 5, put a 0.5 on yours then.
Well, I gave it a 3. Hang on, if I give it a 3.5, that'll even it up, won't it?
Yeah.
So what's that add up to? 3.
7, 10, 13,
I love 13, this scientific way of rating.
15 divided by 4. 3.79.
Is it?
It's go good for stimulating the palate as well.
Yes.
If you wanted a pre... pre-dinner beer that got your salivary glands having a squirt.
Yeah, we call that our warm-up beer, which we didn't go through tonight. What did you have, Dan? You had a Corona.
I had a Corona, my standard.
And we think the rest of us had
Hoegaarden,
which is on tap here at the Pig and Whistle, which is a great beer.
This place is huge.
We gave that 5, didn't we?
Yeah.
At the barbecue special episodes
Corona
ago.
Corona with a lozenge.
Yes.
It looks like one. But we're going to have a really quick break while we get these glasses off our table. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something spooky. We're going to talk about spirits, and it's got nothing to do with Johnny Walker. We'll be right back here on Planet Beer, thanks to Carlton Draft.
Made from beer.
When a voiceover is this deep, it could only be for Carlton Draft. Because a man should never have to hear words like barley, hops and yeast in a namby-pamby girly voice. And that's where I come in. Just the cold, hard facts. Then I just go home, eat a steak and build up my energy for the next time. Carlton Draft. Made from beer.
Psst, you. Yeah, you. With the iPod. See that button in the center? Press it twice. See? The picture gets bigger. Bet you didn't know that.
G'day, welcome back to Planet Beer, coming to you from the Pig and Whistle at Riverside. We just finished our meals before we had our road test, and oh, they were delicious again.
Fabulous. Fantastic. Yum, yum.
Gabby liked it so much, she had two.
I had the pasta and a salad, hello.
Yes.
They make those one meal these days.
That's right, they come together.
But again, this the atmosphere is great too. This place is...
Oh, I love it.
I know, everyone here looks happy.
They like, do.
What's the go with
like
that?
Like they're living a better life than me.
Yeah.
Not possible.
No, but isn't the decor here is great, isn't it? Again,
it is,
like I've
lovely.
Never been to England, but
Atmos?
I feel I'm here.
Atmos?
Atmos? Oh, atmosphere. I thought you meant Kate Moss. I thought we were going to talk about drugs again.
It's my cold, sorry.
Very ye olde worldy.
Yeah, it is. It's almost spooky.
A little spooky.
Speaking of spooky,
that could just be the music.
You had a Madonna? You had a ghost story, didn't you, Dan?
I did. Yes, no, I did. A friend of mine, and she's a reliable source. Well, it's kind of a friend, really, and as they all are.
Yeah.
But it's a reliable source. She's a police officer, a very, very straightforward person. She was telling us this story of the house that she grew up in at one stage. They didn't stay there very long because of the ghost. But they each week would do their grocery shopping, put the groceries away. There would always be a bottle of tomato sauce put on the, you know, the condiments shelf in the pantry. They would go to use the sauce and there'd be no bottle. And they think, oh, I'm sure I bought sauce on the, you know, grocery shop. No bottle. Week after week after week, this happened, that their that tomato sauce would just magically disappear. And then a lot of weird stuff used to happen and the furniture would all move around and, you know, it's strange, really spooky events. One night, her mother woke up to find a little girl standing at the foot of her bed, and that was the night, you know, I was going to say no, no, it was terrible.
Covered in tomato sauce.
Could have been. I thought that's what she was going to say. But anyway, they said, right, that's it, we're leaving. They packed up, you know, moved out. But, you know, you do the final whip-around check just before you move out and make sure you haven't left in anything in any cupboards. They opened the pantry. It was chock full of tomato sauce. Unopened bottles, chock full.
In post-production, I'll put in some scary music.
Oh, yes, you have
they would
to.
Have added to that drama.
Right.
Madonna's not scary enough.
So, what was
some old lady in a leotard's not scary. All right.
Oh, that's way scary, way scary.
Dan and I used to do a ghost tour. Didn't
oh,
we, Dan?
Yes.
And, it was actually Halloween Eve. Was it? No, we've done a couple. We did that one for those bunch of old ladies.
Yeah.
That was all it was. But there was a tour the year before on Halloween Eve, and I went out to the cemetery to mark my way, you know, like sort of work out which way I was going to go through the tombstones. Come nighttime, I wouldn't be able to follow my way. So I went there during the day. It was about 11 o'clock. Is that music getting
it's
louder?
It's getting louder.
You're getting older, see?
Oh, could
the
be,
show goes on, you get older.
I'll just talk louder. And there's a grave there, which is Bertie Hibbert, is the young boy. He died when he was 12 or something like that. And there's a life-size picture of, not picture, statue of him above the grave.
Holding a tomato sauce bottle.
But on the back of it, it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So it's almost like a vengeful, like someone's
something bad
been murdered.
Has happened,
So I was standing there looking at this life-size statue of him, thinking to myself, oh, I wonder how you died, because like no one knows. Like, I don't know. But and then all of a sudden I was attacked by a bird.
Ooh.
It swooped at me. I thought, oh, magpies. I looked up and it was a crow. Went,
a crow swooped you?
A crow. And I'm thinking, hang on. I used to live out on a farm.
Is it the best kind of vengeance you can come up with, the Lord? Is it?
But it was like
a feral crow.
A feral crow. But I thought, hang on, that's weird.
A feral crow. That's like Cheryl Crow.
Did it have a guitar?
G'day, my name's Feral Crow. It's ironic, isn't it?
That's scary enough for me. That's vengeance, I say.
Yeah, so I was, but I thought, oh yeah. And then it kept coming back and back and kept attacking me. So I'm thinking, what the hell's going on here? And as I walked away, the crow lands on the head of the boy and does a poo.
Ooh.
So I had a good story.
Oh.
Now, Danny, you're going to ruin
vengeance
my...
Vengeance from the ass of a bird.
Yeah. That was pretty much like the critics said about our tours.
That's right.
I think someone made some scary movie about birds, didn't they?
That's
was
right.
It Alfred Hitchcock?
Alfred Hitchcock, the bird.
Made a film of that.
Yeah.
That's
except
right.
It made it a bit more...
Scarier.
Scary.
not as much pooing.
That's right.
We had a lot of fun doing that, didn't we, Dan? Because I know at one stage we had, you know, like with the ghost tour, our main rule was never let the truth get in the way of a good story. And so it's
and
all about entertainment. So we,
the truth is way back.
We had. So when did we use? We used people at one stage. Who was that?
All I remember was blindfolding old people, driving them around in their minibus, and taking money off them.
Yeah, ghosts. future ghosts, ghosts of the future. That's this right. is all awaiting you, old people, in just a couple of years.
We were showing them around where they could haunt. This would be a really good place for you to haunt. If you came out rattling some chains and going, woo! That could work for you, old lady.
We had 70-year-old ladies traipsing through some sort of jungle-type environment.
Yeah, it's funny because we're worried about public liability, okay? And we thought these women that were going to be on there were like going to be in their 40s or something like that, okay? We get there and it's a bunch of people with walking sticks, canes, and in a bus. And we thought, oh my God, like to get to this hidden cemetery that we found, you had to sort of... It was like Blair Witch. You had to crawl through bushes, step over things.
You're going under vines, and yep. it's very
And I just
scary.
Thought, here we go, public liability. We're going to get our money's worth here. But luckily, we were using their public liability. But we did have some friends at this one house that we got to rattle and bang on the walls while we were there. Scared the hell out of me.
And that's how and you two came up with their album, Rattle and Hum.
That's right. Rotting old people.
It was originally... rattle and poo in your diaper, your adult diaper, but
just didn't have that same ring.
That's right.
Rattle and have a nap was also another.
Okay, enough spirits. Let's get into our road test number two, which is the not Tedleys. We're going to do speckled hen. We bring a British one in.
Speaking of birds,
yes.
Ooh.
Good segue.
Yes. It's above my bedroom door.
So we're going to have a real quick break while we go and get our beer wench to get us some beers. And we'll be back with that, and then we'll be back to wrap up the show here on Planet Beer from the Pig and Whistle at Riverside.
Hi, Jay here. Just want to thank you for downloading our podcast. We really do appreciate it. Another thing you could do for us, go to our website, www.thebeershow.com, and register in the beer club. You could win great prizes, but also too, we can keep you up to date with what's going on the show. Once again, thanks for downloading us, and remember, tell all your friends.
Welcome back to Planet Beer with John Farnham in the background. Now that's a song you want to play at a nightclub, isn't it? Let's see if the dance floor empties. It's emptying as we speak.
Yeah, but it's full of mullets.
That's one way to clear your house. If you've got a party on, put John Farnham and everyone will go home.
Oh my goodness, Jason, who's our special guest here today?
Well, our special guest is...
Brian.
Brian. From Ireland.
Yeah.
We've imported our friends. How are you, Brian?
I'm very good, guys. How are you?
How long have you been in Australia?
About 8 or 9 months.
Oh, is that all? What part of Ireland?
Cork, down the south.
Cork.
My family's from County Clare.
Yeah, so is mine.
Oh, it is. Liars.
I'm a McNamara.
Fucking shit. That's exactly what Americans say, you know? Like, God,
no,
come on.
I should you not. My family's from County Clare. Ask Dan.
We'll be related then.
Fun ratty.
Brian, have you escaped from Woomera, or are you here as a tourist?
I'm a witch.
Woomera is a detention centre for illegal immigrants.
Yeah, it's
Have you escaped from Woomera, or are you here as a tourist, or are you working, or are you now living here?
I'm working. I'm here legally. I'm here on a 4-year visa. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, you know.
And what it? And if you don't believe it, check under your car in the morning. Now, what do you think of the beer?
Yeah, we've got it's a speckled hen that we've got here. It's on tap here at the Pig and Whistle. Let's have a sip. Tell us what you think.
Creamy.
Yeah.
I like this beer a lot.
That's the nicest beer ever.
It is. It's lovely.
It's good.
It's very creamy. It's a bit heavy and fruity.
It's very fruity is the term. Honey. I reckon honey.
A bit like a fat drag queen.
No, I did not want to go into them terms, but...
Guys, I'm just going to be
point
out,
you know?
Sorry. I'm just going to point out how you said that no one would dance to John Farnham.
Yeah,
just turn around right now.
Yeah, two moles are having a go at it. Bring it on, mole! Bring it on, mole! It's Kate DeRugio!
And love
it. Kate DeRuge?
This is brilliant.
It's Kate DeRugio.
It's like a radio version of the Footy Show. Super.
It's going crazy here. Girls screaming. That's a problem when you have famous people on the show.
Brian, I'm famous in my country.
Yeah, how do you know?
I am.
Have you seen the movie Muriel's Wedding?
Yeah. They shot everyone on the plane on the way in.
I have, yeah.
She's from Muriel's Wedding.
I am. I'm Toni Collette.
Toni Collette.
Nice to meet you.
You're fucking full of shit. You are not from Muriel's Wedding. You are not Muriel!
No, I'm Muriel's sister.
Are you?
Yeah.
She said the line, "You're terrible, Muriel. Can
he
you
probably
do it
doesn't remember that.
All right. Say it. All if right. you are, say the line.
All right. You're terrible, Muriel.
Yes, there it is.
I was also in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
What were you in
and
that?
And I was also in... feck off, you feckin' feck.
I remember the movie with Chachi. It was called... what was it?
Strictly Ballroom.
Star Wars.
They covered me in carpet. That was my line. I walked with Harrison Ford. We're very good friends.
This show's going crazy. We've got screaming girls, screaming Irish.
I remember, no, actually, it was called Gladiator. That was the one, wasn't it?
That's a porno, isn't
Gladiator.
It?
Gladiator.
Glad he ate her.
Glad he
that
ate
was
her.
The one that my friend said he's seen yet.
Gabby!
Well, I think the show has totally gone downhill, which is good.
It's gotten better, hasn't
it? Yes, it's so much better. We should start the show from here. Go. But let's rate the speckled hen. What do you reckon?
Oh, I love it. I'm giving
out of five.
Four and a half.
I give it four.
It's the best beer I've ever tasted. I'm
is that on
five.
A five or on a ten?
Out of five.
Definitely four.
Okay, super. So there we go.
Your accent's very sexy.
It's still Guinness, like.
That's right. It's not Guinness.
It's pretty good.
It's not as thick as Guinness. It's not as heavy. It's not as pushy as Guinness.
No.
It's like Kilkenny. For an Irish beer, it'll be close to Kilkenny.
Yes, it is very much.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that.
I thought he was going to rate it six.
I could drink that all night.
I know, it's a good beer. And it's on tap here, like I said, you can drink this. It's great.
Now, I have a poem. I have a poem for Brian.
Yes.
I wrote this when I was 14. Okay, do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Edit it out if it's no good.
If this is good, now I'm going to pass her, all right?
Gabby's a winner. Here we go.
Okay. I'm sick of trying, Brian, to live with your lion, Brian. I'm sad and I'm sighing, Brian, because our love is dying, Brian. So out of your life I'm flying, Brian. The oven there's a pie in, Brian. So ring if you feel like inquiring, Brian. About how I'm doing. Thank you. That's the end of the
That was good. You should publish that.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Incisive, poetic.
You know what I'm going to have to do now? I'm going to have to put subtitles on the podcast now for you.
Well, I'm trying to talk as slow as I can, man.
That's okay. Can you say, where's me gold?
Where's me gold?
That's right.
Oh, no, I've been at the top of the morning. That's well. Right. It's up to what you want to
hear. Yeah, give us all the cliches.
A little bit of fiddle-dee-dee-potato.
Look, he's got it all off. Sure, what do you need me for then?
Well, okay, I think we might wrap up the show now before we keep going. This could go on forever.
I know, it could become the Brian from Ireland show.
That's right. The Brian from Ireland show. Okay, then. We'll finish with an Irish accent, everybody, okay?
Anyone
got any shout-outs?
Yeah, I'd like to say hi to that girl.
The girl that's screaming in the microphone.
Yeah, she's my fan that takes with me everywhere. She's inflatable and available for hire.
I think I might hire her after.
I know, she offered
actually,
it up
no,
there
she's
for
got a,
$8.
She's got a lip ring.
$8 earlier on for the quick shopty behind the toilet.
Out behind the shelter shed. Okay then, well,
I said no though.
It's been a great episode. I'd like to thank Gabby for coming in. It's gone Scottish. It's a wee bit. Woo, it's a wee bit chilly here by the fire.
Yes, that's right.
It's a broad lit moonlit night to knit.
I'd like to say May the blessings of Mary Malone and her 9 blind illegitimate children chase you so far over the hills of eternity that the Lord himself can't find you with a telescope. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys. And from an Irishman here in Australia, me, Ned Kelly, kangaroos, wallabies, and what are them little pests that come over the little garrity fence and shit in your barbecue called? But anyway, the best greetings from all of them.
They're called the English.
Yes, they are. And best greetings from all of them to everyone here tonight and for giving me free beer. Thank you very much, guys.
And we'd like to thank Carlton Draft, Matilda Bay, and of course Arge from the Pig and Whistle for supplying us with all the beer and food that we can eat. It's a great place. Get on down here to the Riverside Pig and Whistle, and also all their other Pig and Whistles at thepigandwhistle.com.au if you want to find out their locations. Make sure you join up at the beer club dot, at the planet beer dot, no, so what is it? What's our address? Thebeershow.com and join the beer club. Anyway, thank all our special guests tonight and everybody else.
That's, I'd like to thank the Sugar Babes for the closing music.
Yes, yes. We'll throw to the Sugar Babes.
Thanks for our special guest, John Farnham. Madonna.
And the inflatable fan. Yeah. He's got a huge cleavage. I'm not even looking. I'm not looking. Make sure you get a photo of that. Oh, did I miss something?
Once again, that was too powerful. I have to go on radio.
Where's my camera? I hope my nose wasn't in the shot then.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, good night, Australia and the world and Ireland.
Bye. Good night.
Fun at beer. Good night.